The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Man, we should take a week's vacation more often. Am I on, Jesse? I can't remember if I pushed it. Okay. Wow. Yeah, we did. We went to California strictly for the sake of a vacation. And rented a convertible, drove along the Pacific coast and up into the mountains. And just had an awesome time. And enjoyed. I tell you what, you cannot drive through mountains and not be impressed with the awesomeness of God. It's like, wow. And maybe for other people, it's something else that does it. For Marcy, it's probably more the ocean than it is the mountains, because she doesn't like those narrow roads. And, you know, when you're driving in a convertible and you see a sign that said rock slide area, and you're in a convertible and it's on your side of the car, and there's evidence of some rocks that have slid, and you look up and you see some rocks that could slide. But it was just an awesome time together in God. Amen. But it's good to be back. Amen. Wow. You all who participated in this service this morning, whether you were a worshiper, whether you were prophesied, whether you prayed, whether you spoke, I have already begun to put together the word of the Lord for us this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. It's actually a word that the Lord began to lay on my heart before I left. Pastor Dave asked me before I left, do you want to preach when you get back? I said yes. Throughout the week I was thinking, why did I say that? But I knew now this morning as we're here why. How many of you know God is much smarter than we are? Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to talk this morning a little bit about coming to the throne of grace. I want us to notice that the first thing that we must do, and it's one of the most important things, is we must come. We must come to the throne of grace. I don't know how many times in Scripture Jesus said over and over again, come, follow me. If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. Over and over again. And so often, the thing that you and I must do more than anything else is move from where we are to where we want to go. There's a reason that very often we have an altar call. It's because it is a prophetic statement of moving from where we are to where we want to go. It is coming to God. It is coming to Him. And for you and I, we must come to the throne of grace. We must come to the place where grace is enthroned. And in that place, we receive two things. I believe what we're talking about this morning is one of the primary keys to seeing signs and wonders and miracles take place. Yes. There is a desire in our heart, and we are not alone in this. It is growing. There is a groundswell within the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world to see the God of the Gospels be the God of the Gospels, and the Jesus that walked this planet to once again walk this planet in men and women and children of God who carry an authority and a grace upon their life because of the one who lives inside them, because there is a world who needs to see Jesus. Yes. Yeah. And so there is this growing cry for, you can call it revival, you can call it, I've come to see that really all revival is the coming of the kingdom of God. It is normalcy in the kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Revival, the moving of the Spirit, the healing of bodies, the casting out of demons, the breaking off of chains, all of that that we heard about this morning, and I'll address that in a minute, is the reality of a kingdom of light being released in us and through us.
Yes.
It is normalcy. It is normal in the kingdom. This couple sitting right back here, could I just share with you what the Lord showed me? Just an impression. When Dave made Marcy and I turn around so they could pray for us, I immediately saw you, and I heard the Lord say, this is a new season for the two of you. I do not know what that means to you, but there is like a newness all over the place over you. It's like you might as well have tattoos that just say new. And I don't know what that means, but embrace the new. Just embrace it. And I want to encourage you in that. Is that relevant? Okay, good. I've never met, it is not relevant to me, except I can't get away from it. And so that is so awesome. But that is the nature of our God. He's, behold, him who sits on the throne says, I make all things new. He's constantly making things new. And the throne that he sits on is grace. Or if I could say it this way, when you come to God, you come to grace. If there is one attribute of God that does not get enough press, it is the grace of God. His graciousness, his goodness. If you want to know what God is like, look at the fruit of the Spirit. That is the nature of our Father. He is loving and joyous and kind and good and patient and blah, 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 blah. Don't mean to make light of the Scriptures, but the reality is that is his attributes. And so we come to the throne of grace. We come to the place where grace is seated. Susie had a vision in the... Seated? No, it's seated. Yes, where the throne of grace is seated. But it's seated there as well. I know it's seated. Susie had a vision in the prayer room that is very relevant, and I forgot what it was. It was something about the heaven. What was it, Susie? I knew I'd get you on the mic.
It's on.
Yeah, it's on.
It was something about how busy it is down here, and God has given us an invitation to be in another realm. You know, I mean, it's here, but it's in another realm, and how that realm, can you remember? Right. How there was just so much chaos down here, and how up there there was peace and rest, and so it's a place that God has given us an invitation to go to.
Yes. It is, I want to suggest that it is the throne of grace. And there's lots of other names for it, but it's because we're preaching on this scripture and this theme this morning, that it is that place where the grace of God is available. And under the grace of God and in this place, there are two things that are available. And the first thing that is available is mercy. That you might obtain mercy. In the Greek, in the original language, the word obtain, it's like, I don't know whose this is, but don't freak out. I am obtaining this guitar. I just unplugged it. I won't plug it in. It is taking hold of, it is laying hold of, obtain mercy. And the reality is, you know, that phrase that Dave mentioned that they discussed at prayer, I don't deserve this, that has nothing to do with it. Because there is a mercy of God. See, mercy and grace are totally different. And so often we just use them interchangeable, but there's a big difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is the withholding of what I do deserve. It is the withholding of the penalty of sin, if you want to say it that way. Here today, and you might have that attitude and that mindset. I like what Dave said. The only thing that closes us off from this place of God and the benefits of God is between our ears. It is our understanding of Him, and is it our understanding of ourselves? And the reality is we can obtain mercy, and you might say, I don't deserve this. Or I deserve this. You might be a parent here today, and you might, what you really need is for God to come through on behalf of your kids. But in the back of your mind, you know that you blew it as a parent. Well, welcome to the club. Parenting is hard, and none of us get it all right. Parenting would be easy if it wasn't for kids. But even kids that were under the care of God didn't always get it right. And the reality is that, yes, but there is mercy. So if you're here today and you're a parent and the grace that you really need, you just disqualify yourself from because, well, I blew it. I speak the mercy of God to you. There is a mercy that is available beyond what you did. There is a mercy that says, that withholds you. Might be here this morning and you might need healing in your body and you might say, yeah, but I deserve this or whatever. I did something really stupid. Can I just say to you, the mercy of God covers sin and stupid? Amen? The mercy of God, that ability of God to just say, oh, the slate is clean. I don't understand it, but it is a reality. And it's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is just a reality. We have this access to the throne of grace. And it is a easy access. And it is password protected. But the password is Jesus. And you come in the name of Jesus. And you just have total access. The screen opens up to everything that is yours in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. And the first thing we're confronted with is the availability, and I say it intentionally that way, the availability of mercy, but we must take it.
Yes.
We must lay hold of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Accept the forgiveness of God. Whatever your need is here this morning, you know, we talked prophetically, there was some really big stuff prophesied, like chains falling off. Come on. It can't be that easy. Oh, yes, it can. It is that easy. But it requires coming to the throne of grace where there is available to us the mercy of God that covers the mess I made. That covers the mess, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, whatever. One of the things that I'm always watchful of in the gospel that we preach is that we don't attach any conditions to the mercy of God and to the grace of God. That we don't, you know, well, you could get healed if you eat right. Well, oh well, there goes my healing. Now there's wisdom and all kinds of things, and we find things that work for us, but it's not the gospel package, it's just our package. It's who we are, and it's what works for us. But the reality is that even if I had a pizza last night, popcorn, before I went, no, chips and dip, didn't I? Oh. And then an ice cream bar. I wonder. Is God bigger than that? Don't laugh at me. What did you have? Now, I recognize we need to eat wise. We need to do a lot of things wise. But all I'm saying is when we're not wise, the mercy of God can be bigger than that.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The mercy of God. Whatever your need is here this morning, when we come to the throne of grace, we need to know that there is mercy that can be obtained. And again, I want to emphasize, we need to seize it. We need to lay hold of it. And you might say, but I deserve this. That is not the question. Okay, let's just get it settled. You deserve it. Now, do you want to get forgiven for it? See, that is our part. If we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, if we confess our stupidity, if we just in that place, in the presence of God, the God of all grace, when we come to Him and just say, Father, I blew it. Boom. Mercy. We're met. It's an amazing thing. This throne of grace is also the mercy seat. They're seated. It's like side by side. And so there is this mercy and this ability. I appreciated what... I'm drawing a blank. Judy, thank you for telling me your name. I've only knowing you for a year. I appreciated the exercise that Judy led us through because that is how we obtain mercy. Define what it is. Define what is it that's... you think has a right to hold you back. Just give it a name. Give it a, you know, a really good name is sin. Because that kind of covers everything. But it is good to just define what is it that I think is bigger than God? Or what is it that I think is bigger than me and that I deserve and cannot allow me to step out of where I'm living and to walk out into this place of awesomeness and the throne of grace? What is it that hinders me from getting here? What is the roadblock? What is it? Give it a name, give it a title, and then just obtain mercy. Just take it. It's available. Forgiveness of sin is available. In fact, Jesus breathed on His disciples, and then He said one of the most amazing things. Whoever sins you remit on earth shall be remitted in heaven. Do you know that we as the Church of Jesus Christ have the ability to speak forgiveness to one another? So when I say to you this morning, just receive the mercy of God, I have a measure of authority, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a son of the Most High God. And so are you, a son or a daughter. And we have the ability, husbands and wives, you have the ability to set one another free with your words.
Yes.
Parents, you have the ability to set your children free with your words. Children, you have the ability to set your parents free with your words. I believe there are some children here today that need to say to mom and dad, you know what? I know you didn't get it all right, but receive God's forgiveness. Just receive it. Josiah says, that'll preach at home. He just forgave you. Good. It's true. We do need forgiveness. And many times we need forgiveness from the ones that we love the most. And we really need to hear it sometimes. When we have a disagreement, and we do, we try to make it a point to talk it out when we're all done talking it out. And to ask for and receive forgiveness. It's important. She's better at it than I am. But she's teaching me. This is important to know that there is mercy that is available. and it's available at the throne of grace. And so we can no longer say or blame. See the reality, the truth, the statement is true. I don't deserve this, or I may deserve this. You may. That has nothing to do with it. Those of you who need healing in your body, don't let the roadblock of what you did wrong or didn't do right or blah, 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 blah. Do not let that hinder you from saying it's yours. Yes. Ask for forgiveness if you need to. Get forgiveness and move on. Because we got a whole other place to go. And that is the place of grace. Mercy is the withholding of that which is deserved. Grace is the showering with that which isn't. The good things, the goodness. So we obtain mercy and we find grace. That word in the original, it's different. It isn't so much the taking up of, it's discovering. It can either be something that you've been looking for and all of a sudden, oh, there it is. Or it can be, well, just walking along, minding your own business. Oh, what's that? But it is the grace of God. It is the overwhelming heavenly awareness of the ability of God to bless you out of your socks. To bring increase to you, to bring newness to you. It is the grace of God, and it is available to us. See, it's one thing to get forgiveness, but we can often be in a place of getting the forgiveness and okay, I'm walking in the mercy of God. Walking in the mercy of God. We could write a song. Walking in the mercy of God, but how about the grace of God? Many times once we get into the mercy, we want to be a Menards do-it-ourselfer, and we want to do this. Those of you who need healing, you want, there's just, take the burden of your healing off of yourself. Get your eyes off of yourself and onto the healer. Those of you who need whatever, financial, whatever it is, recognize it comes by the grace of God. Dan talked this morning about thankfulness as it relates to life, really, but finances. You know, one of the secrets to being thankful is recognizing what you are apart from God or would have been. It is an awareness of the awesome umbrella of grace that rests upon your life. It becomes very easy to be thankful. When we were up in the mountains driving, you know, around, you come around a corner and, oh, whoa. Another view, like, I thought we just saw it. And there it is. Totally different. And it's like this thankfulness wells, and it's like, God, you are so amazing. Yeah. I mean, you got to realize I'm from northern Minnesota. All we have is the Shea Shea Hills going out to the lake. And yeah, there's rock. But to see miles and miles of rock and desert and it's like, wow. And then to fly over it, it's like, wow. It's amazing. The grace of God is like that. It's unending. It's overwhelming. It's like it takes your breath away. Yes, come on up.
When Bob was sharing that, I was just thinking about the word that Kathleen brought this morning about beauty for ashes. I was so struck. We were going up into the mountains, and you know, I was a little sidetracked with the fact that okay, the edge isn't very far over here. It's on my side, you know. So keep driving that way. Stay to that side, honey. But I just was so sidetracked. I got my eyes off of this, and all of a sudden, I looked to the left, and here's these hills. All of a sudden, well, actually, we started driving up, and I started smelling this. That was the other thing: is fragrances. Oh my gosh. we were driving up in the hills, and we'd already been struck with beautiful fragrances, but we were driving up in these hills the last drive we went, and I was so struck by the burn, by the fire. And at first we didn't see anything, and all of a sudden as we drove more and more, all of a sudden we saw this black, and I mean just hills that were just annihilated with fire, and they were, you know, just sticks and everything. And I was just looking, and I just thought, how fast, because they were saying how high that fire danger was and how fast this must have burned. And I was just struck by that, and we just kind of, I was still taking in the fragrance, or what you might call the odor almost, this strong stench of burned wood and everything. And then all of a sudden, we kept climbing. And before I knew it, we went around this bend. And I said to Bob, I said, look over there. Right there was a like a line that had been drawn. And I saw this lush green. And it just struck me when Kathleen brought that word today about beauty for ashes. And with talking, and I thought, you know what? I just realized, and this will be something, it's for me. I think the Lord just, I don't know, but I just want to share it for you. I just feel like the Lord drew a line today and said, you know what? This is what you had before. I'm drawing a line today, and a visual line for you to see what the potential is for you to have today and beyond. That he has taken the ashes and have transformed those into beauty by just drawing a line. And that line, I believe, is just like Bob was saying today, is that we receive the mercy of grace every day. I was thinking, well, God, you know, I receive your mercy. And it's like, no, you don't get it. Every day you need to say, I receive your mercy. Your mercies are new. Declaring it every day. Your mercies are new today. It's speaking it into our spirit and recognizing that today isn't like any other day. Today his mercies are new today. Today is a new day. Today isn't like yesterday. We don't have tomorrow yet. Today is today. But I was just so struck with that and what Bob was saying about drawing a line. And maybe it's more for me, but I just felt it was such a good visual for me to see that, oh God, it's yesterday was all that rubble. I mean, you know, there obviously there we have good memories and everything, but the potential of the difference between yesterday and today—that's the only thing. And I was just so struck with it visually when we were—I was reminded when we were going up into the mountains.
Not everyone.
When you go through a forest area that's been burned that badly, that it's all sticks and char and there's nothing left, within such a short time, God brings restoration, and the restoration is just lush. It's like nothing they had before. It's new, and that's what we are.
Amen. 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 Can't remember if I... Am I on? I might have turned myself off. Yeah, where I'm from, we used to burn our fields on purpose. Just for that very reason, to see the lush green grass come. The grace of God. Now, here we must understand, and this is where we sometimes revert back to old thinking. We're talking here this morning about the grace of God, and understand this, the grace of God in power is not just ethereal. The grace of God is the empowerment to live life. And sometimes that grace delivers us out of things. Sometimes that grace walks us through things. And many times we check out of the plan of God and the purpose of God because the going gets tough, even as Dan was sharing, and we assume this that we're preaching this morning must not work. I'm uncomfortable. Sometimes the grace of God empowers us to walk through things, to go through things, to go through the fire, to come out the other side without the smell of smoke. And immediately we want to ask the question, Dan said it well, why? Just live in the grace. Accept the mercy, obtain the mercy, live in the grace. We've been preaching under verse 16, and it starts out with, therefore. Let us therefore. And the reason it says that is the verses prior to it, and I want to read them again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. We need to understand this morning that Jesus understands us. We put a lot of emphasis on us becoming more like God, but have you ever considered the steps that He took to become like us? I know God knows all things, understands all things, sees all things, but I personally believe that something very significant took place when Jesus became a man. When God became man. When the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among men. And even more so, when He who knew no sin all of a sudden knew it. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. And I want to suggest that in that time and at that moment, God became, and I want to say this carefully lest anyone think I'm a heretic, but I want to suggest that God became more aware than He had ever been before of the condition of man. I want to suggest that He could empathize with you and I more than He ever could before. I want to suggest that this thing that Jesus set out to do was way harder than He might have thought it was. I want to suggest that when He was in the garden and there was the collision of the will of God and the will of man, and this man Christ Jesus says, "Oh Father, if there's any way that I could drink, get by without drinking this cup, let's do it. But not my will," the man Christ Jesus, "but Your will, Father." Two wills. The agony that He faced in the garden, I want to suggest, was not the beatings, was not the cross, was not the nails. It was the issue of the heaviness and the weightiness of sin. He who was mercy was going to experience what it's like to not have it. And in that moment, that one who had all through his walk on earth called God his Father doesn't call Him his Father. He says, "Oh my God, oh my God, why have You forsaken Me?" And I believe in that moment that God knew, I want to say this carefully, but I believe that He knew the pain of being us. Maybe more than He ever did before. I want to suggest that in that moment, He experienced the heaviness of sin. The pain of sin. We have one seated at the right hand of the Father who understands us so well. He understands that how badly we need mercy. He intercedes for us. He understands how badly we need grace. We need the mercy to get free of the penalty, but we need the grace to walk in the newness of life. It takes grace. Yes. It takes the grace of God. We want to see the healed sick. I tell you how they're going to get healed: by the grace of God. Yes. And when we, whether we're the prayee or the prayer, doesn't matter, come to a greater awareness of it is all about Him and very, very little to do with us. We just get to be the vessel through which He either lays hands on or speaks the word or whatever it is or receives. But when we get the revelation that it is the grace of God, it's Him. And I forget, then I forget about everything I learned about praying right and holding my mouth right and saying the right words and laying hand and blah, 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 blah. And all of those things are important just for dealing with other humans, but have absolutely nothing with imparting the power of God. It is the grace of God. And when do we come to Him? When do we come to the throne of grace? When do we obtain mercy? When do we find grace? In our time of need. And so many times when we are in our time of need, we feel most in the mood to go to God. It's like, really? Really? And in those times, it is helpful if we understand that Him that we're going to understands what it's like to be in the mess we're in. He's been there. He has been tempted in every way that we've been tempted. He experienced every pain we experienced. He experienced every sin and the penalty of that sin that we've experienced. So He doesn't make light of it. He doesn't make small of it. He didn't make small of it at all, did He? I mean, after all, look at the price He paid so that we could be free of it. And in those times when it feels like maybe we love God the least, we need Him the most. We need the mercy. We need the grace. God is fixing to do some awesome stuff. And you know, I've been saying that for a lot of years. And people before me. But He is. Still true. And He is doing awesome stuff. He is. I look at you. I look at this church. I look at what Pastor Dave and Susie have done in leading us as a congregation forward, and I say, wow, amazing. I look at the new faces. I look at the new faces that got up here and prophesied this morning or shared or whatever. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the amazing work of God. Amazing. So life goes on. Would you like to share something? It is.
If I don't, I might hear about it later from someone. When I was at school, at Bible school, I had an instructor who was very gifted in music. He'd get spiritual songs all the time, and he played the guitar and he played the piano, and I think he did that all by ear, we would call it, but it was by the Spirit. And one day he shared with our class the importance of grace. And God's just impressing me and reminding me that it's so much bigger and more absolutely essential to us than we give it credit for.
Yeah.
He said there was a day when he was praying and he said to his father, "What would it be like if I didn't have your grace?" And he said, "Be careful what you pray, because he lifted the grace off of me." And for 24 hours, and he didn't know how long it would be, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't tie his shoes. He couldn't drive his car. Couldn't teach his classes. Couldn't play the piano. Couldn't think of a song or a note to put together. Now, by the end of that, he was getting really shaky, and his wife was more than shaky. But the point of it, when he lifted it and grace came back again, was the tremendous contrast between God's grace for our next breath, let alone for when we're having a problem. We just need it 24/7. There's no time out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Wow. We need to grow in our ability to obtain His mercy and find grace. And I believe we will and we are. I want to put into practice this morning this scripture and have us come to Him and find or obtain mercy and find grace. And I think we're going to do it in our seats. And I realize, you know, we just preached that it's good to come forward if you want to come to the throne of grace, just stand right where you are. That's our coming. That's just a step of obedience. Let's just come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And I want you to just dialogue a little bit with God. And please, this is between you and Him. What do you need mercy for? What do you need forgiveness for? What do you need? Judy started it off in this. What is it that's hindering you? In your own spirit, in your own mind, give it a name. We're just removing every barrier. You might be here this morning, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know where I've lived. No, I don't, but God does. And I know He's bigger. Now, whatever that is, I would like you just to put your hands out flat as if you were going to receive something. And I want you to receive the mercy of God. Receive it. Receive the mercy, the pardoning of whatever that is, the forgiveness of whatever that is, the removal of whatever that is. Receive the mercy of God. You seize it by faith. We just speak forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for the blood that paid the price. We thank You, Father, for Your work. We thank You for the mercy seat, that place, this place that we can come to. We thank You that the mercy of God is new every single morning. Receive it. For some of you, more than anything else, you may need to receive it in that space between your ears, where you just settle once and for all, this is forgiven, this is removed, this is finished. Now we want to find grace. And we're going to do that. And I realize this may stretch some of you a little bit, but one of the things that we're about here is empowering every believer to be a minister. And so I want you to pray for a person around you. You can get in groups of one or two, either two or three, no more than three. But I want you to just group up, and I want you to just minister grace to one another. Just release grace. Just release it. Just bless. Just pronounce a blessing. How do you release grace? Just declare good things. Just declare. Let words bubble up that you're releasing. Release the grace of God in this place, Father. Your grace. Your grace for life. Your grace for living. If anyone needs healing, just let the person that's praying for you know and release healing. Part of the grace package. Forgiveness, grace, healing, deliverance. Father, release the grace for healing even throughout this room right now. Healing, deliverance, freedom. Chains fall off just by words being spoken. Going to take one more minute. If somebody hasn't been prayed for in your group, make sure they are. Grace of God settle in this place. Grace, grace, grace. The favor of God. Empowerment of God. Okay, let's make our way back to our seats. We're going to dismiss. Going to dismiss in just a minute, but I want to give opportunity. Did anyone receive a healing, receive change in their body, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually? The grace of God at work. We always want to give opportunity for testimony of what God is doing. Expect the grace of God to go home with you. Expect it to be the mercy of God to be new tomorrow morning.
You all heard my testimony last week. Well, I'm still doing jumping jacks, so.
Yeah. Amen.
God is good. God is
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
You know, the healing in the ear, the healing in my legs, the healing in my feet, and mostly in my mind and my soul, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. It is such a debilitating thing to live through pain.
Yeah.
And it gave me empathy for the people that I knew had rheumatism. It gave me really good empathy for my father that I never, ever had any empathy for as far as his pain was concerned, you know.
Amen.
So it was God used it. He didn't cause it, but he used it.
Amen. Good. Good. Amen. Amen. Should I dismiss Pastor Dave? Yeah, okay. There will be... Oh, come on up.
Just to remind everybody from last week, I talked about the outreach group and the sign-up sheets in the information center. So if you didn't do it, sign it up. You know, I was coming to church here this morning, the Lord gave me a kind of a download. All of you have ever planted a tree? And what's the most important thing you got to do when you plant that tree? You got to get the root ball off. Because if you don't, what happens to it? The roots grow in a circle. Tree never grows right or will die prematurely. Think of these four walls here as the root ball. We need to spread out. So,
amen. Good.
Another thing I have is I have a word of knowledge. I got this when we were doing worship. A male for a heart condition.
Amen. Amen. If that is you, Roy will be up here, and he will pray for you. The Lord gives these words of knowledge because he intends to heal it. Oh, another word of knowledge.
I had a word of knowledge that the Lord wants to heal someone's teeth and jaws.
Okay, teeth and jaws, heart condition. So those two will both be, Cynthia, stay up here. There will also be prayer altar ministers up here as well. The grace of God is still at work. Amen?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for the privilege you give us to come boldly without any ashamedness into your presence and receive mercy and grace. We thank you, Father. We ask you to bless every household represented in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. There will be prayer ministers up here.